1906. February 1st, 1906. 1. Even as we are one. Ellen G. White. The intercessory prayer of Christ for his disciples, as recorded in the 17th chapter of John, contains important lessons for every Christian. This prayer is written for our instruction. Neither pray I for these alone, Christ says, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Thank the Lord. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is embraced in this petition. Of his disciples, Jesus says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Those who obey the word of God will not be conformed to the sentiments and practices of the world. However great may be the pressure of adverse circumstances, however severe the trial, they are held fast by faith in Christ, and they hold firmly their confidence and love for the truth. Yet they may be misunderstood by the world, for the world seeth not God, neither knoweth him. Christ was soon to leave this world, but his disciples were to be left. He prayed not that they might be taken out of the world, but that they might be kept from the evil that is in the world. He sent them forth as sheep among wolves. "In the world ye shall meet tribulation," he told them. "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." But he promised them, when brought in test and trial, he would bring all things to their remembrance. In our world, there are millions of souls who are destitute of the knowledge of God. They are walking in darkness and in the shadow of death. Our duty to them is made plain in the prayer of Christ. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I pray for them," Christ continues, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." The most convincing argument we can give to the world of Christ's mission is to be found in perfect unity. Such oneness as exists between the Father and the Son is to be manifest among all who believe the truth. Those who are thus united in implicit obedience to the Word of God will be filled with power. If all would completely consecrate themselves to the Lord and through the sanctification of the truth live in perfect unity, what a convincing power would attend the proclamation of the truth! How sad that so many churches misrepresent the sanctifying influence of the truth, because they do not manifest the saving grace that would make them one with Christ, even as Christ is one with the Father. If all would reveal the unity and love that should exist among brethren, the power of the Holy Spirit would be manifest in its saving influence. In proportion to our unity with Christ will be our power to save souls. We must watch for souls as they that must give an account to God. This is our great work, and we are to seek earnestly that we may have wisdom from above to know how this can be most successfully accomplished. Our work is most effective when we act in perfect harmony under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Then let no separations occur that would weaken the cause of God. "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Can human minds comprehend the Father's love sufficiently to lead them to act in accordance with statements so broad and so full? "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved them may be in them, and I in them. March 1, 1906. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Ellen G. White. The Father cannot be described by the things of earth. The Father is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and is invisible to mortal sight. The Son is all the fullness of the Godhead manifested. The Word of God declares him to be the express image of his person. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is shown the personality of the Father.
The Comforter that Christ promised to send after he ascended to heaven is the Spirit in all the fullness of the Godhead, making manifest the power of divine grace to all who receive and believe in Christ as a personal Savior. There are three living persons of the heavenly trio. In the name of these three powers, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized, and these powers will cooperate with the obedient subjects of heaven in their efforts to live the new life in Christ. What is the sinner to do? Believe in Christ. He is Christ's property, bought with the blood of the Son of God. Through test and trial, the Savior redeemed human beings from the slavery of sin. What then must we do to be saved from sin? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior. He who confesses his sin and humbles his heart will receive forgiveness. Jesus is the sin-pardoning Savior, as well as the only begotten Son of the infinite God. The pardoned sinner is reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, our deliverer from sin. Keeping in the path of holiness, he is a subject of the grace of God. There is brought to him full salvation, joy, and peace, and the true wisdom that comes from God. Faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ is the assurance of pardon. Christ can cleanse away all sin. Simple reliance on that power day by day will give the human agent keen wisdom to discern what will keep the soul in these last days from the bondage of sin. By faith and prayer, through the knowledge of Christ, he is to work out his own salvation. The Holy Spirit recognizes and guides us into all truth. God has given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ is the sinner's Savior. Christ's death has redeemed the sinner. This is our only hope. If we make a full surrender of self and practice the virtues of Christ, we shall gain the prize of eternal life. He that believeth in the Son hath the Father also. He who has continual faith in the Father and the Son has the Spirit also. The Holy Spirit is his Comforter, and he never departs from the truth. April 1, 1906. The Work of the Spirit. Ellen G. White. Many have become hard-spirited because they are verily strangers to the working of the Holy Spirit. There needs to be a great reformation in the lives of believers, in their words and works, and spiritual understanding. We need to catch the inspiration of the angels in the heavenly courts. We need daily to breathe the atmosphere of heaven. Oh, how my heart trembles for us all! Unless the hard-heartedness is melted away by the grace of Jesus Christ, we shall never know what heaven is.
I am pained beyond measure when I see and feel the hard-hearted methods of dealing with the Lord's heritage. I feel so ashamed in behalf of Christ as I see how little respect and reverence are shown towards the purchase of His blood. There is need of the converting power of God in every family. Were this power present, there would not be seen a lack of sympathy. Instead, there would be seen a most earnest receiving of the grace of Christ to impart to others. Let every root of bitterness be rooted out of the heart. Let most thorough work be done with self. Let the men who are in office keep their hearts under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let them be careful of their actions. Just before our Savior left this earth, He commissioned His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Power to do what? To preach the gospel and preach the conditions of salvation. The disciples obeyed the divine injunction. While they were engaged in prayer, being of one accord in one place, the Holy Spirit came upon them as a rushing, mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. Peter was re-anointed with the holy unction from on high. So wonderful was the outpouring of the Spirit that the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. It is this baptism of the Holy Spirit that the churches need today. There are backslidden church members and backslidden ministers who need reconverting, who need the softening, subduing influence of the baptism of the Spirit, that they may rise in newness of life and make thorough work for eternity. I have seen the irreligion and the self-sufficiency cherished, and I have heard the words spoken, "Except ye repent and be converted, ye shall never see the kingdom of heaven." There are many who will need rebaptizing, but let them never go down into the water until they are dead to sin, cured of selfishness and self-exaltation, until they can come up out of the water to live a new life unto God. Faith and repentance are conditions essential to the forgiveness of sin. What is needed now are men chosen of God and precious, who will go forth full of faith and of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel, calling upon God for His grace to aid them in their work. The Lord has warned us that a large number of believers should not congregate in one place. Let men go out in the name of the Lord, humble and devoted, as coal porters and canvassers, to sell the books that bring light to the souls of those who know not the truth. When this is done, there will be seen striking instances of conversion.